862. You can follow along with this morning's reading, which is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Yesterday I was involved in a ceremony that I take part in from time to time, which was to inter someone's ashes in the garden out the back of the church. There are about 800 people whose ashes have been interred over there in there in the last 60 or so years. And I actually find it a very moving experience to do that process as a physical and relational experience. It begins with an opening up of the plastic capsule in which the ashes are stored. We call them ashes, actually, but most of it is pieces of bone and just a little bit, and some ash as well from the person that's left over, just a few kilograms of material, a bit like grit. And as I open the capsule in which they come and pour it out, the dust from the ashes just kind of floats through the air. And it always reminds me of the temporary nature of our human existence. It reminds me of what we're made of, bits of carbon and water, and this kind of gritty calcium that's left over as a residue. And it also makes me recall and think that actually a human being, a living person, is so different from this pile of ashes, that what I have before me is, it's like a remnant of the person, but it is not the person. It's not who they were, and who they were when they spoke and they breathed and they could hold and behold and they could see and be seen, speak and be heard. It's very moving also, I find, to return the ashes to the ground, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, as the service says. And also just to stand there with the family and the relatives for a few moments and reflect upon the wonder of life and the incredible gift that life is. Life is an amazing, amazing thing that we enjoy. And the intensity of what it is actually becomes apparent to me as I go through that process of laying those ashes in the dirt. Just think about life. Think about the vibrancy and the beauty of a flower opening and coming into full bloom. Or a majestic tree reaching up to the sun that's seen centuries of life. The wonder of an infant looking out at you through unknowing eyes and taking her first steps. Or of a flock of birds wheeling and turning in flight as they go about their way. Life is really amazing to reflect upon and mysterious in its ways. In the Hebrew Bible, at the beginning, life is a very important theme in the story of creation. In creation, God creates life in human beings by breathing into a pile of dirt, into a pile of dust, just the complete reverse of the process that I was involved in yesterday. The Lord takes this pile of dirt and breathes life into it, and out of that pile comes a human being. It's miraculous. Actually, it's beyond human capacity or understanding. A process that is the absolute reverse of death, bringing something to life that was not. And it is God's unique power, authority to do this, to bring life out of something that was dead. God is the absolute source of this mysterious thing that we call life. It's clear in the story of creation. It says the spirit or a wind from God is brooding over the waters, that life itself is already there before creation began. It's not that God created life. God was life. And he shared his own life and breathed it into the world. We also read in Genesis that in the middle of the garden there was a tree of life whose fruit could bring eternal life to those who ate of it. God himself is alive without ending, without beginning. It was customary in Hebrew times for people to take an oath saying, "As surely as the Lord lives." And that conveys the idea that they knew that this was really sure, that the Lord was a living God. That life was God's attribute, God's characteristic, before it was ever a human characteristic or a biological characteristic. For us, as human people, life is something that comes to us when we're conceived. It begins in the womb. And also it will, physically speaking, biologically speaking, come to an end for all of us, as those ashes that I held in my hand yesterday, as they testified to me in my spirit, this too will be my body in time as well. It comes and it goes. We're brought to life and then life leaves us, leaves our mortal bodies. But God has life in himself, eternal life in himself, not as a temporary quality or as a passing quality, but as something inherent to God's very being, life without limits, life without end, life abundantly. Jesus speaks about this in John's Gospel in chapter 5, verse 26. The Father, he said, has life in himself, and he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. That's the difference between us and God. God is life himself. He is by his very nature alive. Whereas we are created with the gift of life from God. And biological life has a time limit to it. Now, in a sense, you could say life is not just an either-or thing. Sometimes it's possible to be alive, but not truly alive. We can live a kind of quality of life that's a bit like a living death. Kate Webb was a journalist who was reporting on the war in Vietnam, and she was captured by the Viet Cong in Cambodia and held by them for a while. In fact, people thought she was dead, and she read her own obituaries. Her family held a memorial service for her while she was kept as a captive. And she wrote about her time in that jail, in prison as a captive. She said, "You're not among the living or the dead of war, but trapped in a grey twilight with no links to the living world." And sometimes our life can have that aspect to it as well. There's a kind of trappedness in an in-between space. Certainly for Webb to be in that prison was like being stuck between death and life, not fully alive, but not quite dead either. Now, Jesus, when he comes to us, when he walks by the shores of Galilee, when he preaches in the streets of Jerusalem and in the Judean countryside, Jesus comes to us to show life, to show us what life is truly like. He showed people what real life is like, for example, by the way he healed people who were also trapped in their physical bodies that was not quite what it should be as a living person. Maybe they were crippled from birth, or maybe they couldn't see, or they couldn't hear. There was some limitation on their life. And Jesus, when he healed them, he brought abundant life into them. He drove death out from their bodies. This is what Jesus does. Or when he set people free from the gray twilight of demonic oppression, he brought them into full life. And of course, he brought life by raising the dead, calling Lazarus to come out of that tomb. These signs are the calling cards of Jesus' divine power of life, and they point to the reality and the power of the life that Jesus brings. It's very hard for me to sing that song that we sang earlier about the wonderful name of Jesus without remembering the amazing miracles that I've seen God do of healing in people's lives in the name of Jesus. For example, as I've shared before, the story of an Iranian woman who heard a message on the name of Jesus, and she prayed that very moment about her mother in Iran, who was suffering from a serious breast tumor as large as a fist. And her mother went to bed in pain that night on a Saturday evening, and she woke up the next morning completely healed. She went to the hospital on Monday morning, and the scan showed there was not any cancer left in her body at all. The week before, the scans had shown cancer there in her body. She had discovered that Jesus brings life. He had healed her from death. The power of the name of Jesus, which this woman trusted in, was enough to bring that healing, that life, into her mother's life. These things are signs, they're calling cards of the life of Christ. They point to the reality and the power of what he brought. They are not the whole deal in themselves. To be healed physically is not the whole deal. Because all of us, in the end, our bodies will stop. God may heal us in this life, but he doesn't heal our physical beings for eternity. To speak about eternal life is something more than just a physical body. But yet, the work of Jesus to bring healing into spirits and into bodies point to the reality of the power of life that he brings, that it's more than just physical life. These miracles that Jesus does shows us that eternal life is not just an idea, it's something real. It's a power that breaks through into this world, calling us into another world. It is a power to bring real change in our life. The power of Jesus to bring life is as real as the pain you would feel if I stomped on your foot. It's not a pretense. It's not an idea. It's not a philosophical principle. It's not a beautiful set of thoughts to live by to make you a better person. These are real. This is real power, real life that we find in Jesus. Now, the Bible uses this powerful word life, or in the Zoe Greek, to tell us what it means to know God, what it means to know Jesus, and what it means to be in relationship with God through Christ. At the start of the 17th chapter of John, Jesus is praying. This sermon series is about life in John's Gospel, and this is one of the passages that's not actually on our list, but it's a very, very significant few verses. And I'd like just to read it to you, verses 1 to 5. Jesus is praying. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." He's speaking about the cross, actually. In a sense, he's saying, "Let your glory be seen in the cross, Father God. Glorify your Son." And then he says, "Father God, you have granted the Son," he's speaking about himself, "you have granted him authority over all people. What is this authority for? That he may give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you," Jesus says, "glory on the earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And the key phrase I want to bring to your attention is, this is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what eternal life looks like. It means knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. It's something that begins now. It's not something pie in the sky when you die. It's not something later. It goes to eternity, but it begins now by knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. That's what eternal life is. And the way it works is that God has life in himself, and for us to actually know God, personally to know, not just know about God, but to personally know God, means to be connected into his eternity. It means being connected into his eternal life. It's like, as the Iranians say, a pipe from our heart to his heart. And down that pipe, life flows, and it changes, it gives life to us. To know God is to know eternal life, to know God through Jesus Christ. Now, at the beginning of John's Gospel, there's a reflection on what the mystery of who Jesus was and it was about. It's a reflection on this mystery of Jesus, who he was and who he is. It says that he was with God from the beginning, and that he was God from the beginning. Bursting with real life, the life of God, of which the life we see around us is just a reflection, bursting with real life, he was full of life before the world began. All life that exists on earth is a result of the true aliveness of the eternal Word of God of Jesus Christ. So John writes in introducing the gospel, he says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. It's a very interesting way of putting it. The life in Jesus, the life of Jesus is the light that brings light into our lives. Now, this is very striking language, that life was inherent in Jesus from the very beginning. And when he came to dwell among us, he brought the life of God among us. The power of the life of God in Christ is a light that lightens the whole world, all of humanity, every tribe, every nation on the earth. And it's so exciting to see that happening all around the world today, to see so many nations turning to Jesus and coming to know the life of God in Jesus Christ. John explains that this incredibly alive Jesus Christ, this Word that existed from the beginning, as we sang about earlier, this life has power to grant life to us. Jesus has authority to share his life with us, that it will become our life. And this is not only just physical life, which we enjoy. It's not just this physical life that will come to an end, that is temporary, that is passing by its very nature, but it's real life, it is eternal life, which transcends and goes beyond the reality of our ashes lying there in a box or in a hole in the ground after we have breathed our last breath. Jesus is the one who has authority, John is saying in verses 12 and 13, to cause us to be born of God, to receive the life of God in our hearts, to enter in, to claim for ourselves a different kind of life, to share in the very life of God himself. This is what John often calls eternal life, which is to know the Father and to know the Son, and through that relationship to be made alive in our spirits eternally. It was challenging yesterday, standing there and looking those 15 people, young and old, in the eye as we committed the ashes of their loved one into the ground. I spoke of the Christian faith, of the hope of the world to come, and the resurrection of the dead. I spoke about eternal life. I reflected on the temporary nature of our lives. I was conscious that I was speaking of things that are beyond the limits of human understanding and human experience. These are beyond what governments can regulate or scientists control. They are beyond what human ambition can achieve or create for ourselves. I was speaking of real life, something that can only come from God, that is received by an act of revelation from God's part to us, showing us the reality of his power and his life, or what Jesus called a revelation of the glory of God. The life of God that endures is beyond this world. There is more to life than this, and Jesus is the more that we sense in our hearts. Jesus is the more that God has revealed to us. Jesus' life and witness, which is shown to us in the Gospels, is a message to us from God. It is a love letter to us from the Lord God, from our Creator, who caused us to be conceived and watches over us. This message of Jesus' life is an invitation to us. It's an invitation, actually, with your personal name written on it, a call to eternal life. And in that invitation is this statement, eternal life starts now, that you would know the Father and know the Son. This is what Jesus offers, is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And he brings the elements, the evidences of his power and grace through answered prayer, through miracles, and in other ways, through freedom that he brings into our lives. But these things are to point us to the deeper reality of the eternal life that he's brought to us. Now, knowing Jesus Christ, knowing God the Father, is something that changes us deeply. It ties us into the life of God that he has in himself. And so Jesus says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, Father God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is what Jesus came to bring eternal life. He calls us to be born again, to be born of God. And maybe you're listening to this and maybe you're thinking, I would really love this to be true in my life. I would like to have life, beyond this life. The life that Jesus spoke of, this eternal life, this this life of God that actually is the source of all life. I want to be tapped into that. I want that life of Jesus to be my life. And the key to receiving that is actually that place that Jesus called the glory of God, which is the cross, the place where the love of God is revealed to us, where the place where our sins are forgiven, where the arms of Jesus stretch out for really to embrace the whole world. And if you would like to be tapped into the life of God, if you'd like the life of God in Christ to be your life, if you'd like to know eternal life today, a life that actually sustains our identities and our beings beyond the grave, beyond this world, I'd like to issue an invitation to you personally today to respond to this call that Jesus makes, where he said, I've come that you would know life. I'd like to offer that life to you here today, and I do it with his authority because he's called us to do this. And what I'm going to do is just pray a simple prayer in which there's an invitation for the life of God to be in us, to be in our lives. And if you've never prayed a prayer like this before, I'd really like you just to invite you to do it today with me. And I just invite every eye to be closed. And if you would like to receive eternal life, to receive that gift from God today, I'd like to invite you just to stretch out your hands in front of you now. Just stretch out your hands in front of you. Yeah. Just to receive. This is the gift of life. Eternal life. And I'd just like to pray with you and invite you to make these words your prayer as well. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life. And I ask that you would give me eternal life. I choose to be in relationship with you through Jesus. Thank you that Jesus died for me on the cross. I turn away from the way I've lived before, from my former life. And I surrender my life to you, Lord God. And I pray that you would pour your divine power and life into my life, that I could know eternal life now and be born as your child, Heavenly Father. I want to belong to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd please give me the gift of eternal life today as I devote my life to you and to follow Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in my life, that the glory of God, the eternal power and grace of the living God would be manifest in my heart and in my life. That you would just cleanse me, Lord, from everything that's attached to the things of this world and grant me authority and grace by your Holy Spirit to live a life of God in this life. And I just pray for everyone here today. Lord, I pray that you would release the power of life in us, the life of the divine life of God that is there from the beginning and will be there at the end. And Lord, I pray that you would release that grace by your Spirit among us, that we'd be people of the life of God, the authority, the grace, the power, the reality of the Spirit of God at work within us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer with me or made it your own and maybe for the first time, I'd love to meet with you after the service and just to register with you and just maybe to pray again with you. Please do come and speak to me or speak to Susie or Kate or someone else you know and trust. I'd love to just have a chat with you. I'm going to hand over to you now, Kate. Thank you so much.